Amen. A powerful name indeed, Enoho. Please sit down. Okay, readings now, I reckon. And Harold.
Good morning, everybody. Our first reading is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning at the 14th verse. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one with a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Tonu tāna kupu ki a tātou. And our te rongapai tāpū, the Holy Gospel, is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning at the 9th verse. Praise and glory to God, te whakamoe miti te karoria ki te atua. Jesus has been speaking with his disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Te rongapai, tēnei ātea ka aiti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe mititia ea te kupu mana.
Should be live. Can you see me? There, it's better. Kia ora e te whanau. Good morning. Yes, I'm Penny Burton Bell, and I'm part of the St. Luke's community, if you happen not to have met me, although I've been around for a little while now. And hello to everybody that's watching.
Hello to Val.
Yeah. I said hello. Yeah, he's not the only one there, but hello, Val, and hello everybody else that's out there. Welcome. That's kind of weird, speaking to them when I'm with you, but we're all together. We're all part of God's body. I just want to give an alert for anybody that wasn't in the service last week or perhaps is new to our parish that we had quite an exciting service last week, and I'm going to be touching on that in the service today. So just giving you a heads up. And I'm going to talk about it, obviously, in the context of our readings, because the word of the Lord applies to all aspects of our lives, doesn't it? Yeah. So, who can remember what was who would say what the key word was in our gospel teaching today? Was there one word that stood out? Aha, good, you were listening. Excellent. The word love appears 9 times in 9 verses. Jesus starts by looking up and then out. He says, as the Father has loved me, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And I want to start there. I want to remind each of us that we are deeply loved by God and deeply loved by his Son. I can't imagine God's love for Jesus being anything less than perfect. And if Jesus' love for me is like that, well, how blessed am I? How blessed are we? And, you know, we are all invited in equal measure to love each other as Christ loves us. Suddenly, when I read that, when I pause, and it does make me pause, that seems quite big. Does it feel big to you? In fact, it feels pretty huge, really. And, you know, thinking back to Andrew's talk last week, I hear the inner cry like Isaiah within me saying, woe is me, for I am a woman of unclean lips. The human me is hopelessly inadequate. And yet, it was in human form that God chose to send Jesus to reconcile the world to himself. In 1 Corinthians 1, it says, he chose foolishness to confound the wise. It's a bit of a relief. I have to remind myself that it is only in him that my weakness is made strong. Only then can I hope to love you the way that he loves me. And it is amazing what we can do with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, blowing in and flowing through us. Last year, we were learning about Rublev's icon. It's amazing how this icon has just kind of come into this community. It's sort of come a few times now. And you know, it's about, it's called the three angels at Mom, but it's seen to depict the, sometimes, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are invited to sit at that table. And I was just wondering about my place at the table when behind me I heard Rosemary's cry to Alan, come to. And I thought, I've got to check this out. So I swung around in my seat, and it was instantly obvious that we had an emergency taking place, unfolding. And I didn't expect you to last the service, Alan. It was pretty scary. The other thing that totally took me by surprise, sorry for underestimating you, was the way that the body of Christ jumped into action. We all jumped into loving action in our way. Catherine Brabham immediately called the ambulance. Debbie adopted nurse mode. Steve organized the wheelchair. I yelled, pray, everyone! Seemed like a good thing to do, and you did. You did. While we got Alan to a place where emergency services could reach him. Katie, who's upstairs, arranged to take little DJ home. Somebody delivered clothes, so he had something to wear into bed and the next morning. And all the while, poor Andrew, who was preaching, was stopped mid-sentence in his talk. And then somehow he had to land the message after the excitement was simmered down. I won't say it was over. So Andrew's not here today, but, you know, well done, Andrew. Big ups. It was something. To me, and I imagine to many of you, it is miraculous that Alan is here today. There he is. Just raise your hand there, Alan. So there he is. Hallelujah. He's here today. When Alan arrived at the hospital, they could find nothing wrong with him. Nothing. To me, that shows the power of love and of prayer and of the healing power of the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to stand on that today because I went home and when I heard that, it was like my brain said, hang on a second, I know I say I'm a Christian, but just a minute here. Just a minute. And it has been quite challenging just to process that miraculous act. So welcome back, brother. God obviously still has work for you to do here. You know, the introit for our upcoming Evensong that we're busy practicing at the moment begins, "The Lord has been mindful of us and he shall bless us." And I think we can all say hallelujah to that. I want to just pause for a moment to gain composure, but also just to allow each of us to take a moment to process how God has worked here and in the last week. So if you just take a moment quietly. And I just want to say, well done, everybody. Well done. You know, that situation to me is a good description of loving one another, the topic of our gospel reading today. And, you know, I was thinking about us as a community, and we're very civilized and ordered, aren't we? Like, you know, some might say dull. Civilized and ordered will work. And our love for each other may not be obviously on display. But when the rubber hits the road, we're there with bells on. You could say, as our epistle said today, Christ's love compels us. I think we need to be bold about accepting the miraculous. We say we believe in a loving, all-powerful God, so why should we be surprised when he acts miraculously to his glory? We should be expectant and joyful and full of praise. Our God saves. Before last Sunday, I was thinking ahead about these passages, and especially with the Alpha course starting in our church on Tuesday, I felt they were very timely. And I've been thinking about how people are drawn into relationship with Christ. I don't know how many other people did, but I did Thy Kingdom Come prayer challenge before Pentecost about praying for 5 people that you long to know Christ. How many other people did it? Not that many. Oh, you missed out. Sorry about that. Actually, you can still go back and find it online. There's a great prayer journal, and even better, there are some short videos on the website which give, however many days it was, 11 different ways of doing prayer, and they're only sort of 7 to 10 minutes long. So you might want to go and just check those out. And remember how our gospel reading says, "My Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name." My Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. And he said that in the context of bearing fruit that will last. We should all be praying for each other, for the people on this Alpha, and for their reconciliation to God. We don't know what goes down on people's lives, but we want them to share our joy at having Alan back, our joy at being in a relationship with God. History gives us a place in which we can stand to view our present and our future. My husband Russell and I recently got back from a holiday in Northland, which was lovely. Lots of weeds, but I'm just going to ignore those. And while we were there, one of the places I was determined to visit was the Marsden Cross, because I'd heard people speak about it. It's about an hour's drive out of Paihia. Yes, there is some metal roads, and it's in the Bay of Islands. And it's a really significant place in our church's history. For those that don't know, it is the place which is acknowledged of where the coming of the Christian faith to Aotearoa New Zealand happened. And it is the place where the very first Christian sermon is recorded to have taken place. That was on Christmas Day in a sunny bay in 1814. And yes, there is a pahutukawa still. Unfortunately, it got clipped out of this picture. But it's just up there where the red rocks are. There's a lovely pahutukawa there. It wasn't in flower, obviously, wrong time of year, but... and it was in that place that the Reverend Samuel Marsden gave a sermon. And when I visited the site, I became aware of the investment that Samuel Marsden made to make this happen. I just need to say that, like every one of us here, Samuel Marsden was human, and not everything that is recorded about him is positive, but... he brought the word of Christ to New Zealand. And it started in 1805 when he met a Maori man, Te Pahi, on a boat. And Te Pahi was a chief at Te Puna, which is in the Bay of Islands. And they formed a friendship. And Marsden recognized in his conversations with Te Pahi his openness to faith. And an idea started to form in his head. And he thought about the opportunity to bring Christ's message of reconciliation to the Maori people. Now, Samuel Marsden worked with the brand new Church Missionary Society in London. It was brand new at that time. To recruit the right people, to source funding, and negotiating a place with Te Pahi and the other chiefs to have a place where the missionaries could safely dwell in New Zealand without being on the wrong side of the argument. That took five years. Didn't happen overnight. Took 5 years. But during that time, Marsden continued to befriend and to help Maori and particularly, there were many Maori that suffered terribly on the whaling ships of that time. They were treated really badly. And he brought them back to his estate, as it was, in Sydney, and nursed them back to health. And in the same, while he was doing that, he was learning about their culture, learning their language, starting to get the rudiments of a bit of an understanding of the language. Finally, the missionaries arrived in Sydney, and it just so happened that there was unrest in New Zealand at that time. So 1810, they finally got all the missionaries as far as Sydney, and they had to wait another 4 years to get to New Zealand. My point in sharing this is that I'm sure that there was an awful lot of loving that went on in those 10, to 15 years, as well as a lot of work and misunderstandings and trust building along the way. But Samuel Marsden stood on that beach at Oihi Beach in the Bay of Islands. And he began his address using the words of the angel Gabriel, Te Haranui, behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. Joy, remember? That's what we're meant to be sharing. And I want to touch on another significant part of our church's history, which is celebrated today. Because today is known as Te Pohere Sunday. And as Bert reflected, it refers to our Anglican constitution, which in 1992, the Anglican Church decided that it needed to reorganize itself into the three tikanga, tikanga Māori, tikanga Pacifica, tikanga Pākehā, to allow for the expressions of these different cultures in our tradition. Not a good word. Tradition is not the right word. To practice our different cultures in our faith. And in te reo, tikanga literally is a combination of two words, tika, which is right, and na, which is many. So the many right ways of being. And te pohere is a hitching post. I really love that. It's a hitching post to which you tie your waka. That's where you hook up. In our case, three waka, one for each culture. So on Te Pohere Sunday, we are invited to celebrate our unity in our diversity by making room for each in faith. We make room for all. We journey towards understanding of and reconciliation with each other, regardless of who we are and of our experience or our culture. And we do this aware that we must first be reconciled to God, that God is paramount, His Son, the Holy Spirit. When we are reconciled to God, only then can we love as He first loved us. And this can lead to making our joy complete. But of course, without the early missionaries, we wouldn't be having this conversation. We wouldn't be having this relationship with each other at all, even if there were some rocky bits along the way. And I was reflecting that with Alpha, we will be welcoming in people who have never set foot in a church. Worse still, there may be some that have had terrible experiences in a church. Things that are so regrettable. There may be people that don't look like us. They don't think like us. They don't act like us. But they are still part of our fellowship. And they are equally loved by Christ as He loves us. The perfect love the Father had for Him is reflected in Jesus, and He has perfect love for every one of us. We need to love them just as much as we did Alan last week in our service. And in thinking about this, I was reminded of a triangle representation that I've heard Bishop Justin share previously about our relationship, and how our relationship with the church can begin from any of the three sides of that triangle. I couldn't find a way to write on the side, so I used triangles instead. But we can belong, we can believe, or we can behave. And it doesn't matter where we are in that triangle, we are part of the church. And some people who have been in the church community for a long time, they might be in that middle triangle, whether it's where they belong, believe, and behave. But some may be more on the belonging. to the community. Some may be more in the believing, they've had an experience, and some may just be behaving. But that's okay. That's okay. You know, we're all on a journey. And to me, being present, even if you're online, is the key part of being part of the community of Christ, of the body of Christ. And it is from that that we seek to bless others, to bless the earth and everything in it. Our reading from 1 Corinthians, sorry, from 2 Corinthians, isn't it? Anyway, whatever it is, today reminds us that it says, so from now on we regard nobody from a worldly point of view. And also, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. That's what's in our midst. So let's show God's love. Let's welcome each other as friends, not associates, not the person next to you in the pew, friends. Because Jesus calls us friends, not servants. It's as friends that we seek to share the joy of God's salvation and reconciliation in Christ. It is as friends that we stand saying, as we learned last week, as Isaiah did, here am I, send me. Scary, but we don't do it in our own strength. And it is as friends that we tell others about our joy, that we invite them to join in friendship with the King of Love, our Shepherd. Practice is a good thing. So I encourage each of us to practice this when we get to the end of the service today. Talk to someone that you've not had a conversation with. They might sit at the other end of the church. But, you know, practice is good. Let's talk about our experiences of God's love and faithfulness with each other. Let's build our faith. Let's celebrate the fact that we saw God at work last week, that we see him today at work. That's enough from me. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord Jesus, as we seek to draw others into relationship with you, as we journey together to share as one body, help us to bring our stories, our experiences, to bring our worship and our trust in you, to bring our thanks for your faithfulness and love. And all of God's people said, Amen.
How deep the Father's love for us. Very appropriate. Thanks, Bruce, for this.
How deep the Father's love for us.